Mark's gospel, and we're going to read some of the parables that the Lord Jesus taught. So we're reading from verse 21 to 34. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 to 34. Let us hear the word of God. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Well, let's just pray, and then I'll hand over to Dan. Let's pray together. Father, we are so very thankful for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of it. Thank you already for the preaching of it. And we pray now for the reception of it, that the Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear. And Lord, make us careful listeners tonight. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dan.
Good evening. Once again, thank you for the invite and the hospitality. It's been a really good day. Great to be with you. Thank you for your interest and support and prayers for me and work at Yorkshire Camps. And thank you so much. We are going to be looking at Mark's Gospel again tonight. This morning we looked at the leper in chapter 1. But tonight we're going to be looking at the parables that we just read there in chapter 4. As we said this morning, Mark's Gospel is very fast-paced, quite action-packed. It flows through pretty quickly. And we looked at one of those incidents this morning with the healing of the leper. And all through the Mark's Gospel, we read these different miracles and teaching as it goes through. And yet here in Mark's chapter 4, it's almost like that is kind of paused just briefly. And Jesus does some teaching with his disciples. So that's what we'll be looking at tonight. And we have these four short parables, and we're going to be looking at four lessons that we can learn from them. So please keep your Bible open, and we're going to be looking at this first parable, which is the lamp on the lampstand, which is verse 21 and 22. Just before this parable, Jesus has been talking about the parable of the sower in verses 3 to 8. And the point of that parable is that the word of God is not something that we just hold on to for ourselves. But the word of God is something that we take for ourselves, but then we share with others. You know, we have a gospel, we have a savior, we have good news, don't we? That's not just for us to keep inside these walls, it's to go and share with those around. It's great to see you've got a full week this week with all the kids' work and the well and all these other things. It's great that you're involved in sharing the word of God with your community. And Jesus speaks of a lamp here, and the purpose of a lamp, of course, is to give out light. It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it, if you had a bedside lamp and you put it inside the cupboard or put it inside a drawer and shut it. What light would it give off there? It wouldn't, would it? That's not the purpose of a lamp. So it is with the Word of God. It's not designed to be hidden away and tucked away and kept secret. It's designed to give its light and be spread around. Now, there are many in our country that would wish that Christians would do just that, would keep the Word of God. You know, you're Christians, you believe this, but please just keep that to yourself. Please don't go and share that and spread that around. There are some that would wish that we do that. Maybe in your own community, maybe your workplace, maybe even your own family, that there are people that would say, I wish that you would just keep that to yourself. But Jesus here in this parable, he talks about this lamp. A lamp is designed to be put on display. A lamp is designed to give out its light, to share what it is. That's the purpose of a lamp. And we've been given the Word of God, not just to hold on to, not just to cling to, but to go and share and spread and spread around with those we communicate with and we live amongst. For our second lesson, we go to the marketplace. This is verse 24 to 26. Let me read that again to you. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Sounds a bit wordy, doesn't it? It sounds like almost like a tongue twister. But the lesson is this. Imagine we go to the marketplace, and you have a market stall, you have a market stand, and you get there nice and early, you set up your stand, and you are there, and you begin your day trading, and you are selling, let's say, strawberries. They're in the news, aren't they? Wimbledon at the minute, it's on. You're selling strawberries. So you set up your stand, there you are, that's what you're going to be doing for the day. And a man comes along to you and says, "I want to buy some strawberries. Here's my pot. Please, can you fill that up to the top?" So you start shoveling in the strawberries, and you put it in there, and it fills up, and it fills up, and it fills up. Then you keep putting a few more in there, and just a few more at the top until it's filling, until it's spilling over the edge. You've given a good measure, haven't you? Well, you carry on trading the rest of the morning, and it gets mid-morning. You think, well, it's time for a break now. I'm going to go and get myself a coffee. So you wander down a few market stalls, and there's the man selling coffee. Guess who the man is? It's the man who you sold the strawberries to earlier. Is he going to give you a good measure of the coffee? Is he going to diddle you, or is he going to fill your coffee right to the top? Well, you gave him a good measure. He's going to give you a good measure in return. Now, this parable is obviously not talking about strawberries and coffee, but what is it talking about? Verse 24, "Take heed," or be careful, "what you hear. With the measure you hear, it will be measured back to you." So in other words, give attention to the Word of God, because the attention that you give to the Word of God will be proportionate to how you grow as a Christian. You know, it's easy to be lazy with the Word of God, isn't it? It's easy to sit there, maybe on a warm summer's evening, and feel a bit tired and just comfortable in your chair and not give your full attention to the Word of God. But here in this parable, Jesus is saying, give the Word of God a good hearing, because your Christian life and your effectiveness and your usefulness to God will be in relation to your attitude and approach to the Word of God. Your spiritual life, your progress will grow the more you take in the Word of God. If we're casual, if we're lazy, then we're not going to grow as much as we could, as much as we should, are we? An interesting thing here is that when you take in the Word of God, you may then have opportunity to share with others. You think about this week, maybe you're waiting the bus, start waiting for a bus, and you sit next to somebody and you say, "You know, I was in church on Sunday and I heard such and such and I heard this and I heard that. Did you go to church? Do you go to church? Do you read the Bible?" These kind of things. If you were dozing during the sermon, you might not have that same opportunity that you may have otherwise. So Jesus is saying here, give the Word of God a good hearing, pay attention to the Word of God, and in the proportion to that, you will receive the Word of God in your life, and that's how we'll grow, that's how we'll progress as a Christian. That's our second parable. That's the marketplace. We're going to move from the marketplace to the field, move from the Word of God to the work of God. Now, you're here in church this evening because you've chosen to be, and you want to be. That's what I'm assuming anyway. But what about the many people that aren't here tonight? What about, I don't know, the population of this area, but what about the thousands, hundreds of thousands, however many there are that aren't hearing the Word of God? How are they going to hear the Word of God? If they're not going to come into our building, how are we going to get out and share the Word of God with them? Well, Jesus likens it to going out there and sowing this seed. How are we going to win people to Christ? How are we going to share the gospel? Well, with wisdom and with God's help, with initiative, with a measure of courage. We have the Word of God, don't we? It's not here to hold on to. It's there to go and share. Now, I don't know if you know much about farming. I don't, in case you were wondering. But where we live, there's farms all around, just near where Yorkshire Camps is, and all around there are farmers. But I do know this about farming, that if you don't sow any seed, you're not going to get a harvest. That's pretty basic, isn't it? You can't expect to get a harvest if you're not putting seed into the ground. But every farmer also knows that even if you do put seed into the ground, it still doesn't guarantee a harvest. You know, some of this seed, it might go into the ground, it might die. It might grow a little bit. It might grow a lot. Who knows? We don't really know, do we? And in verse 26, Jesus likens the kingdom of God as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Why is it that different people react in different ways to the gospel? We all know of people who hear the gospel and it's just that they're not interested, there's unbelief, there's rejection, there's walking away. And somebody else can hear that same message from that same person on that same time and respond with belief. How is that possible? Well, that's the work of God, isn't it? It's not the preacher, not the cleverness of his argument or anything like that. It's the secret work of God in the heart of a believer. And the farmer, he doesn't go out and check the seed, does he? He doesn't go and keep digging it up and keep ripping it up and see how it's going. He trusts God, and he trusts the process. And some spiritual progress will only be evident over time, okay? It can be impatient. We might wish that people would grow at a faster rate, but God is in control. Little by little, a person can come to understand the gospel. Little by little, they might understand more about themselves and their sin and their need for repentance. Little by little, they might understand why Jesus came into the world. And little by little, they may understand what it means to trust in him. And then, of course, once a person has trusted in, little by little by little, they will grow. And God will grow the seed at his own rate and his own pace. Our job is to trust him and trust the process. Our job is to scatter the seed. His job is to bring in the harvest, isn't it? And to sow the seed and to act in faith is trusting God and to trust him, and including in his timing. And that should be reassuring to you if your parents or your grandparents, if you're sowing seed with young ones, little ones, and you're seeking to share about Jesus with them little by little by little, please be reassured that God will bring about his harvest in his time, in his own way. And we have to trust that process. Just in case you think sometimes when you're running your kids' clubs and Sunday schools and all this kind of thing, you're thinking, are these kids listening or are they just thinking about anything else and everything else? We, after COVID, kind of put a stop to camps at our place for a while. We finally then reopened at the end of 2021. And there was a girl came in, one of our very first camps back. And she said, this is the first time I've been here for 2 years. I said, oh, great. Good to see you back again, etc. And she said, yeah, because I remember last time I came, you were the speaker. And I said, oh, when was that? She said, oh, it was half term or whenever it was. And I thought, yeah, I do remember that. And I just kind of said to her, well, do you remember what I spoke on? Expecting her to say no. But instead she said, yeah, you spoke about Moses. And you said Moses was like a son and was a shepherd. And then he was a savior, but he wasn't the savior. He was a little savior, but it pointed to the bigger savior. And he was like a type of Christ and type of Jesus. And she'd held on to this for 2 years, and I had no idea. So it should just be reassuring to us to know that if you're sowing seed, if you're sowing gospel seed into young ones, be reassured by that. And also, if you're witnessing to somebody, perhaps in your street, in your neighborhood, or at work, or places like that, God will bring about harvest in his time, in his own way. He might grow it this much, he may grow it this much. We don't know. But in many ways, that's not our business anyway, is it? That's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to sow that seed. Finally, our fourth lesson, we go to the garden. So we've been to the house, we've been to the marketplace, we've been to the field, now we're in the garden. Verse 30 to 32. And here the parable is about a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, it was a tiny, tiny, tiny little seed, which planted into the ground, eventually could grow into a tree up to 15 feet in height. There was a story that I was read about a while ago about a rabbi who many, many years ago, he planted this mustard seed as a small child. And then years and years later, watching his own children climbing that same tree that he planted all those years ago, what began so small grew into something much, much bigger than he expected. And that's the meaning of this parable. The kingdom of God begins small, doesn't it? A baby in a manger in Bethlehem. A boy growing up in a despised town in the north in Galilee. And then living in obscurity for 30 years. And then for 3 years, traveling about, preaching about the things of God, facing rejection, unbelief, betrayal, arrest, misunderstanding, and eventually being killed by his enemies on a cross. And at the end of those 3 years, what did he have to show for his life's work? 120 scared believers in a room in Jerusalem. Doesn't sound great, does it? If you were planning world domination, or if you were planning some big project, you probably wouldn't go for this method. And yet the kingdom of God begins small. And from that small beginning, look around the world today. Is there a country in the world that doesn't have Christians in it? I don't think so. From such a small beginning, millions upon millions upon millions have become Christians, who've become followers of Jesus from such a small beginning. And in verse 32, there's an interesting phrase where it says, it's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, smaller than all the seeds. But verse 32, when it is sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. This links back to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, where he talks about birds nesting in a tree. And here it's symbolic that Jesus, as he hung on a tree, and people from all around the world come to find rest, come to find shelter, come to find salvation under him. So the imagery is there. From something that began so small has grown so much bigger. And we even see that through church history, don't we? Think about the conversion of Lydia, for example. She was just an individual lady living in a small town in Philippi, and yet with her conversion led to the church being planted in her house, and then growing and growing and growing, and then that the gospel going out from there. Think about the Apostle Paul as well. He was just one individual conversion, wasn't he? And yet through that one small seed, grown and grown and grown, planted churches, went around, preached and taught the things of God, wrote letters that here we are 2,000 years later, we are still reading and reaping the benefits from. Something that began so small grew to be much, much bigger. So don't focus on the tininess of the mustard seed. Focus on the potential of the gospel seed and how that can grow. Again, we could use another illustration, Jim Elliot. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Jim Elliot. Again, he had a plan, and that didn't quite go to his plan, did it? And yet, through that and through the story of Jim Elliot, how many thousands of people have been inspired to become missionaries? And out of those thousands of missionaries that have gone out around the world, how many millions of people have come to believe in Christ? And yet it began just with five individuals who actually didn't get to where they were planning to go to, did they? So what looked like a failure on the outside was actually part of a much, much bigger plan. So think about the small beginning that God can use and does use and will use and continues to do so. So there's four pictures, there's four lessons, four conclusions that we can learn from. Number one, don't be a secret Christian. Yes, there is such a thing as a private life, and there are some things that you should do in private that would be wrong to do in public, but living for Jesus and making him known and being known as his follower is not one of them. Let your light shine before others. Give attention to the Word of God. Take in the Word of God, and then what you take in, give out to others. Sow the seed of God, sow the Word of God, and trust that God will bring about the harvest. We're like runners in a relay, aren't we? We're there to pass on the baton. And fourthly, don't be discouraged if things seem small. I don't know if you'd call yourselves a big church here tonight. Probably look around, probably wouldn't, I'm guessing. And yet, there are some very big churches that we call big churches, and out of them, there's no real significant Christian leaders come, do they? And yet, out of some small churches and some small congregations up and down our land, leaders and missionaries and pastors and teachers and leaders can come. So it's not about how small the thing is. It's about how big God is and how God can take and use us in our smallness, in our weakness, and grow for his glory. Let me pray, and we'll hand back to David. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these such simple parables which teach us such profound lessons. We've only really just scratched the surface on their meaning and their understanding. But Lord, thank you that we have your word that we can read, that we can learn from. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for the simplicity that we are to trust in the Lord Jesus and share him with others. Lord, it sounds so easy, it sounds so simple, yet we know it's so tough and it's not easy. Lord, help us, give us the strength, give us the patience, give us the wisdom that we need to live for Jesus in our day, in our world. Help us not to be discouraged when things seem to go wrong and things don't seem to be happening as quickly as we would like them to. Lord, help us to remember that you are in control of all things. You have a plan, you have a purpose in all these things. Lord, help us to trust you and look to you in this. And Lord, help us as we seek to live for you this week. Give us grace, give us wisdom, give us help. We pray these things in your name. Amen.